You're listening to Sunday sermons from Christ Pacific Church located in Huntington Beach, California. We're cultivating a community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world. Let's join Peter Little in the book of 1 Thessalonians as we continue in our current series, A New Humanity.
My name is Shelley Keltner, and I will be reading this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So if you'd like to take out your Bible, your device, or read from the screen, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor and love of and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you because our message of the gospel came to you not only not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of the regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he has raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming.
Good morning again, everybody. How's it going out there? Pretty good. Awesome. Hey, if you have a Bible or you're looking at that verse, keep it open because we're going to talk about that quite a bit. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want you to be able to see that and refer to it as we talk about this passage. Hey, that song we just sang, Build My Life, that's awesome. I will build my life. I will put my hope and I will put my trust in you and you alone, and I will not be shaken. You, your love is a firm foundation. So good. And I'm kind of thinking, like, I know that you rehearsed a couple of other songs that we're supposed to sing later, but kind of thought, I wonder what it would be like to sing that one again. And I'm just like planting that seed there for you, Britt. Throwing a curveball to Britt and the team as Josh is out of town this weekend. Let's see. I know there's a dark spot here somewhere. There we go. Can you see my face here? Sorry about that. Hey, I got a new blouse this week, by the way. So I know you all noticed because I only have like 5 shirts and I wear them all. And so you're like, hey, I've never seen that shirt before. You're right. You haven't.
How about the pants?
Pants are old. Yeah. Okay, that's enough of that. today I'm doing something a little bit different than I usually do. I'm standing before you with a few notes and having thought and prayed through this passage this week, and and today is a little bit different than a typical day because I do not have the typical sermon prepared for you that I generally would. What I have are notes and ideas and a massive amount of passion about what I'm about to talk about. So if you're new here this morning, this is maybe a little bit different than what a typical Peter would look like, and not just because I have a new blouse on today. But because this is going to be a little bit different. So this morning I'm inviting you to join me in taking a super significant step of faith, a step of hope, and also an expression of love, an expression of love for our Lord and also for our neighbors today and future generations. Today, I want to impress upon you what I sense is And what the leadership here is saying is a faithful way for us as a congregation to move forward and to celebrate the faithfulness of Jesus Christ and to share the faithfulness of Jesus Christ with those who have not yet discovered how unbelievably beautiful and faithful and good and merciful and gracious Jesus is. Today we are going to get really serious about what we've been talking about all year, actually, which is this Pacific voyage of faith, hope, and love. That's what the banners behind me are all about. We've been talking about joining in, being a part of this Pacific voyage, this journey of faith and hope and love. And we've been talking about this for a number of months. And in the coming weeks, one way to say what's going to happen is the rubber is going to hit the road, so to speak. So we are going to move from talk to action really quickly in the next couple of weeks, and especially as we look into 2020. I'm going to give you more of an update on where we are with this Pacific voyage and what the status is with that. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. For now, I want to dive into this passage that Shelley read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, because it's this beautiful expression of what faith, hope, and love actually is and what it does and how you get it and what to do with it once you receive it. So, a few comments that I have prepared. And I even, look at this, a rising tide of faith, hope, and low. And I don't know why that doesn't fit in there. I'm sorry. But isn't that a cool name for what we're actually talking about? You know, it's all nautically themed, right? Oh, he's getting off the bench here. I can't sit on that thing. It's all a nautical theme here. We started the year talking about setting sail. Right back in April, actually, when I introduced us to this year's theme as a church, that we were going to set sail. What do we mean, set sail? What we mean, we're actually going to be empowered by the wind of God. So in the New Testament, wind and spirit are the same word. So the Holy Spirit is like the wind of God. And we're going to set sail empowered by the wind of God. And like good and faithful sailors, we are going to raise the sails. You know, if you go out on a sailboat and you don't put a sail up, it doesn't matter how hard the wind blows or what direction it goes, you're not going anywhere. You got to put up a sail. And so we're gonna put up these sails. We're gonna raise these sails, and then we're gonna trim them. We're gonna put them in just the right position so that we can catch the wind. Right? So it's this participatory dance kind of thing that we have between us and the Holy Spirit, where we align our sails. And what do you mean our sails? Well, we talked about raising at least three sails. We talked about raising the prayer sail. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray about how God wants to move in and through Christ Pacific Church. And as we pray, it's like raising the sail. And our hope and our prayer as we raise the prayer sail is that we'll be able to catch the wind of God. We'll be able to catch the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit will propel us forward. And then we also talked about raising the Hershey bar sail, which is super sweet, and that's the serve sail. It looks just like a Hershey bar. So we're gonna raise the serve sail, right? Like we're actually going to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We are going to serve in at least one area of ministry here at Christ Pacific Church, and we're going to offer our gifts and our time in service. That's how we're going to raise a sail, and we're going to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to catch that sail and is going to propel us individually and also us as a congregation forward on this mission. So we're going to raise the Hershey Bar service sail. And then we're going to raise the sail of radical generosity or of giving. We're going to offer our tithes and our offerings. We're going to actually give financially to the mission of God here at Christ Pacific Church. We're going to raise that sail, and we're going to hope and we're going to pray and have faith that the Holy Spirit will catch that sail and will propel us forward in mission. But what is the mission? Actually, what are we doing? Well, the mission is to go and make disciples of all the peoples,
to go and teach people everything that Jesus has commanded us, teaching them to obey, teaching, making disciples. That's our mission. We talked about it with this nautical theme as a mission to go out and seek out and rescue those who are lost at sea, right? People who are just adrift. You know, maybe they're drowning in life's circumstances, right? We're going to set sail and we're going to go on this voyage and we're going to seek those people out and we're going to bring them on board. Or maybe people, those who are just on a raft without a sail or an engine, they're just adrift. They're adrift at sea and lost. All right, we're going to find those people too, and we're going to bring them on board, and we're going to introduce them to Jesus, and we're going to make disciples and teach them how to sail, and then we're going to sail together, and we're going to seek out and save more who are lost or who are drowning or who are adrift. That's the mission. That's why we're here. I think it was C.S. Lewis who said, the only reason, I'm paraphrasing here, the only reason the church exists is to introduce people to her Savior, Jesus Christ. That is why we're here. If we're not doing that, then we are, I don't know what we're doing. We're a country club, I guess. You know, and country clubs are great, right? Or maybe we're the Rotary Club, and the Rotary Club is fantastic. It's great. But we're not the Rotary Club. We're the Church of Jesus Christ. We are introducing people to the Savior of the world. So that's our mission. And as part of this mission, we have said, hey, we want to spend some money and resources and time and energy fixing up the sailboat, right? It's not actually about the sailboat. The point is not to have a nice sailboat. The point, rather, is to have a vessel that enables you to sail well, right? That accommodates for the people in the vessel and has all of the right tools, if you will, so that we can sail well, so that we can be effective and faithful missionaries on this mission. And so we have said, hey, we're going to renew our campus. It's time that we invest some time and energy and money into our campus and fix a few things up and not just make it look pretty, but actually fix some functional things around here. And so we've talked about that sort of ad nauseum in the months past, and you can read about it on our website, what we're actually going to do. But it's all about creating a hospitable space that says to visitors and guests, you are welcome here. We expected you to come. We're glad that you're here. And we want to do everything we can to intentionally extend the hospitality of Jesus Christ, the warmth of Jesus Christ to you. Kind of like if you come over to Krista and my home, like we will probably vacuum. We will probably pick up the laundry. Right? We might even put the furniture back in its place, right? Just as a courtesy and as a way to say we're glad that you have come to our home and we honor and respect you and we want to prepare a comfortable place where we can connect relationally, where we're not distracted by the piles of laundry or what have you. So that's what this is about. And see, I told you that I just prepared some comments and I'm totally off base here. So but this is what I'm super passionate about. So I'm convinced that this is what we need to do at Christ Pacific Church in order for us to more faithfully set sail, to catch the wind of God, and to become a community known by its faith, its hope, and its love. Let's talk a little bit about this rising tide of faith, hope, and love. A couple of things that I noticed in this passage is that faith, hope, and love are all outgoing. They're all outward facing. In other words, it's not about me. It's not about us. All of this faith, hope, and love is actually turned outward. So we are drawn upward towards God in faith. Right? Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ draws us up, draws our eyes upward to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. This is different from belly button gazing, Right? We're looking up in faith. We're also drawn out towards our neighbors in love. Right? Out towards our neighbors in love. This is not about us. And we're drawn on towards Jesus coming again in hope. We have a hope that is solidly at in the future, that is so absolutely certain that it affects everything about how we engage in the present. Our future hope is so absolutely certain that it reorients our life in the present. This is what John Stott says about this faith, hope, and love in 1 Thessalonians. Their faith and their hope and their love radically reoriented their lives. And so it does with us. Real faith, real love, real hope reorients us. And it orients us outward. All of these expressions are outgoing. Okay, secondly, they're productive. These are not theories. These are not abstract ideas, faith, hope, and love. It kind of sounds like it a little bit. It sounds abstract, but they're not. They're actually productive because, as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, the work of faith is what the Apostle Paul remembers about the Thessalonians, that their faith works. Their faith does stuff. It's not just a concept or a feeling. And that reminds me of Ephesians chapter 2. Paul says this to the church in Ephesus. He writes in Ephesians chapter 2, he's trying to convince the people that they're saved by grace through faith alone and not by works. Right? So his whole argument in Ephesians chapter 2 is like, look, like you can't earn your salvation. It's not about works. It's about grace, about the grace of Jesus embraced through faith. And Paul writes this. He says, you know, for by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's a gift of God. It's not the result of works so that no one may boast. And then he says this. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. That's who we were created to be. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Good works that are an expression of our faith. And you are probably familiar with the book of James. It's all about how faith, when faith is real, it expresses itself in fruitfulness in these good works. So faith works and love labors. There it is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's the labor of love that Paul remembers. Love is not a feeling. It's not a concept. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, that famous passage that gets read in weddings all the time, rightfully so, although that's not a passage about weddings. It's not a passage about marriage. It's a passage about the community as a whole. This is what love looks like. Love is kind and patient, et cetera, right? Love labors. And if love is not a labor, then it's simply sentimentality. It's just a feeling. Right? If our love has no labor associated with it, then it's just words. It's just sentiment. It's just a Hallmark postcard. But real love labors, actually works. It doesn't matter how much I tell Krista, my wife, how much I love her, if there's no labor associated with the words. Right? If I just tell her over and over again, Krista, I love you, and there's no labor, there's no action to accompany those words, she's going to start suspecting that I don't actually love her. Right? Because love labors. And hope endures. The word here is that Paul remembers the steadfastness of hope. The steadfastness of hope. In other words, hope is steadfast. It endures. Last week we talked about the last beatitude, which is, blessed are you when people revile you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Blessed are those who are persecuted. And Paul is saying here that real hope endures all of that. Real hope endures all kinds of hardship. Because hope is certain of what is going to come. And what is going to come is the return of Jesus Christ. So that no matter what happens, no matter what takes place, we can have this solid and robust hope. And this hope leads to endurance, which is another way to say patient fortitude in the midst of all kinds of evil that is uttered against us. Right? So hope endures. Here's another observation I made about this rising tide of faith, hope, and love. Thinking about time. Faith rests on the past. Love works in the present. And hope looks to the future. Our faith in Jesus Christ rests in the past. What I mean by that is that our faith is based upon an historical event. Something happened in history. And what happened was Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Mary and Joseph, died on a Roman cross. And so far it's not very eventful because this happened to a lot of people. Jesus of Nazareth died on a Roman cross, and then the unimaginable happened 3 days later. The dude walked out of his own grave. That never happens. Now we're getting serious. Do you remember all that stuff that he said about how he was God in the flesh, how he was God's own son, and how he was the light of the world? All that must have been true because the dude walked out of his own grave. The only reasonable explanation for what happened in the first century is that the grave was empty and Jesus had walked out of it. Right? So our faith is based on that event. So it's not a feeling. It's not a system of belief. It's not a philosophy that's based on a way of thinking. It's a faith based on a historical event that took place. Jesus died and then he rose from the dead. I think our faith is also based on the more near past. So when I think about the people who have gone before us, the first person I think of is Jesus. He's the one who has gone before us. He died and rose from the grave. And then there were a whole bunch of other people after that who put their faith in Jesus and gave themselves to following Jesus. And they built this wonderful movement that has changed the world called Christianity, called following Jesus. And the way, the place that intersects in my life is with a number of people. Right? My faith rests on the faithfulness of people in the past. And the first and absolute most significant person is Jesus Christ. But then there's this other guy named Christer Persing who comes along. He was a young life leader at my high school. And he passionately pursued me. Pursued me with the gospel, trying to get me to see that Jesus was the hope of the world. And I graduated high school and he never saw the fruit of his investment. But I was able to call him back like 10 or 12 years later. I was able to get back in touch with him because I really wanted to tell him, Christer. It's not a cool name, huh? Christer. Christer, all of your planting of seeds of faith that you did in my life, all of that pursuing me with the gospel, you were trying to help me to see that Jesus was the hope of the world, and I didn't see it when I was in high school, but now I see it. I get it. The seeds that you planted, other people watered, and they were germinated, and they grew, and now it's producing fruit. Thank you, Christer, for your faithfulness to the gospel. Then this guy, John Schmidt, comes along, and I'm at a men's retreat in San Anselmo in Northern California, and it's pouring rain, and he has an umbrella, and I don't, and he invites me under the umbrella. And John would become a very, very important voice in my life. John, at the time, this was in 2002, at the time he was 81. became a very important voice in my life in terms of discerning what God was doing in my life. And that was because of his faithfulness to the gospel. Then this other guy comes along. His name is Tim Shaw. And he starts to point out gifts in ministry that I have. And because of his faithfulness to the gospel and because of his love for Jesus Christ and his desire to see the mission of Christ move forward, he begins to call out gifts that he sees in me. And if I had to point out one person whose fault it is that I became a pastor, it's his fault. Because he was the one that said, I see these gifts. What would it look like if you began to pursue those gifts? And then I think about people like Pastor Gary Watkins, who created here at Christ Pacific a movement that was centered on Jesus Christ. So 32 years ago, Gary showed up here and he began proclaiming Jesus Christ. And some of you have heard him talk about this. People began to complain. Could you talk about something else, Gary? We're tired of hearing about this guy, Jesus. And by the way, could you start talking about some other book other than the Bible? Isn't there something else that we could read that would be more interesting? But no, he said, no, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And the word that we need to be reading is the scripture. So for 30 years, Gary faithfully pursued Jesus and proclaimed the gospel. And we're standing on those past generations, beginning with the death and resurrection of Jesus and all the faithfulness of the people who have gone before us. I think about the people who were gathered here in the late 1960s and who at great sacrifice to themselves purchased the property that we're on right now, a property that we would have no hope in purchasing today. Right? There's no way that we would be able to purchase this property. But a group of followers of Jesus got together in the late 60s and they, at great personal sacrifice and with a faithful investment, said, no, we're going to claim this piece of soil for Jesus and for the mission of Jesus Christ. And we are standing on the faithfulness of those people. So our faith rests in the past. And I'm going to skip the present. I'm going to go to the future. Hope looks to the future, to the glorious return of Jesus. Jesus will come again. And when he does, the kingdom will finally come in all of its glory. All things will be made right. All that's broken in the world will be fixed, will be repaired, will be restored. All of the relationships that aren't right will be set right. All that has been lost will be found. Heaven and earth will come together. It will be like the garden again, only it will actually be a city. Because we're not going back to the garden. We're moving forward to a new creation, a new city, a new Jerusalem, as Scripture calls it. And that's a glorious day, and we get to work toward that. That's the distant future, or we think. I mean, I guess it could happen tomorrow, but maybe that's the distant future. But there's also the near future. Here's some things that I'm hopeful for about the near future. I'm hopeful for Tanner's Taco Tuesdays being overwhelmed with students who are hungry for more than tacos. For 100 kids who are desperate for a place to belong, desperate to be known and valued and respected by adults. And they get a couple tacos out of it too. I'm hopeful that Christ Pacific would be a place where there would be a Celebrate Recovery step study every day of the week. Every day of the week. I'm hopeful that Christ Pacific would be a place where on Monday evenings, Ken is freaking out because Dock A does not fit all the people who have streamed there for our Monday evening prayer gathering because people are so hungry to experience that intimate relationship with Jesus. People are so hungry to converse and listen to the living God, and they are just hungry to pray to Jesus. I'm hopeful for a worship hall that is bursting at the seams because more and more of Huntington Beach and the surrounding cities are hungry to hear the good news. And so we got to figure out how to start a third service. When are we going to do that? Is it going to be, you know, at noon? Is it going to be Sunday night? Is it going to be Saturday night? When are we going to do the third service? Because we need more space. I'm hopeful for a congregation where every single person is engaged serving in ministry. I'm hopeful for children's ministry classrooms that are so full of excited kids that we're able to actually split up all the classrooms by grade. So we got a kindergarten class and a first grade class and a second grade class and a third grade class. And then Jericho's standing up here going like, will you please help us? Because we need a bunch more leaders. We need a first grade leader. We need a second. Actually, we need three first grade leaders, three second grade leaders, three third. You know, I'm hopeful for when that is going to happen. I'm hopeful for our international mission trips to Ensenada and to Guatemala that there's a waiting list for that, because so many of you have discovered that when you go on an international mission trip like this, it reorients your life. It changes the way that you see reality. It changes the way that you experience life. And so you want to go and have this experience. I'm hopeful for Christ Pacific Church that has an outdoor gas fire pit out here. And every night there's a group out there building community. We have to kick them out, right? Because it's after hours. Go home. Come back tomorrow. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for Sunday afternoons when we get to enjoy lunch together out on a new Pacific Park, and Dave and his pals are barbecuing in the outdoor barbecue area there. And come about like 3:30, like, I don't know, myself and a bunch of the leaders, we're just all like, oh, peace out, man. We got to go. Like you all can stay here as long as you want. This is awesome, because everyone just wants to connect. They want to share life together. And it's like 3:30 in the afternoon. And we're like, man, I've been here since 7 o'clock this morning. I got to go. I'm hopeful, super hopeful for those things. And why? Why all of that? Because we're working towards the restoration and redemption of all things in Jesus when he returns. Because all of the investment that we make lasts. We're investing in people's eternity. Hope that looks to the future. Man, I'm saying too much. I'm running out of time. Okay. Yeah, see, God is calling and saying, you should stop talking soon. Okay, this is so cool, you guys. You gotta see this in the passage. This is so amazing. So why with the Thessalonians, why did they have this rising tide of faith, hope, and love? Like, what happened? And what we see in verse 5 is that the word, the gospel, the good news came in word and power. So Paul proclaimed it with all conviction because he believed with all of his heart in the good news of Jesus Christ, because he had experienced it personally. It came with full conviction in word and in power. By the Holy Spirit, people's lives were changed and they were reoriented in how they lived life. That's what happened to the church in Thessalonica. The Thessalonians had the gospel come to them. The gospel came. And then the gospel was received, and received with joy. We see that in verse 6, right? They didn't just hear the good news, but they received the good news. Their hearts and minds were open to the good news. It came in and it was deeply rooted in them. And they received it with joy. And then it sounded forth from them. Verse 8, right? The good news was sent forth from the Thessalonians. So they didn't just hear it. They didn't just receive it. But then they extended it. They sent it on. They became proclaimers of the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's the invitation for us. The word has come to us. The good news of Jesus Christ has come. We've heard it. It's come with power. Many of you have testimonies of how God's word and the good news has changed your life, how the Holy Spirit has been at work in your life, healing you and healing relationships and bodies and lives. And you received it with joy. And the gospel has been sounding forth from this place. And will it continue to sound forth in generations down the road? is this whole Pacific voyage, this whole campus renewal, is not about us. It's about investing in ministry here. Just like the people who came before us, they invested in ministry here, and we are now standing on their shoulders. Will we invest here in the gospel of Jesus Christ so that it can continue to sound forth from this place? Did you know that if everyone in Huntington Beach decided today that they wanted to go to church, they were going to be involved or engaged in a church, that there are not actually enough churches for all those people to go to church? We would have to say, I'm sorry, there's no room for you. We could fill every single church in Huntington Beach and there still wouldn't be enough room. Thousands and thousands of people who don't yet know about the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel totally reoriented the lives of the Thessalonians. It reoriented how they lived in the present. It reoriented how they loved. That's the present part, right? Our faith rests in the past. Our hope looks to the future. It's our love that labors in the present. How you love others. That's what our faith informs and what our hope calls us to. I have more thoughts. I'll share them with you some other time. I want to shift gears a little bit, and I just want to give you an update of where we are with the Pacific Voyage. So this is where like the rubber hits the road, so to speak. And if you're new or visiting or sort of new with us, this is what we've been talking about for a number of weeks. This is what we're doing as a family of believers. We're fixing things up a little bit, and it's pretty exciting. So I want to give you a sense of where we are. Oh yeah, okay. Campus renewals, greatest hits. Okay, here's a couple greatest hits. A couple things. Okay, you guys, we have this amazing concept design. Okay, we came up with a whole concept for the whole campus so that we wouldn't like fix something and then have to refix it and redo it. We took the whole campus and we said, what ought this campus look and feel like? And we have this beautiful design that that answers those questions. And we're done with that. We've got it. And that's what we are working towards. All the Magnolia landscaping out on the front. Remember when we did that? There was like 100 of you who participated in that. It was like we rolled our sleeves up and we totally renewed the whole front Magnolia landscaping. And now it's super beautiful. And we are no longer the Carl's Jr. Church. Yes. Because we have illuminated signs out. So now if you drive by, you know that it's Christ Pacific Church that is here. And so we have a couple illuminated signs. Super, super cool. What else did we have we done? Oh, yeah. Right? Whole coffee bar and patio area. Dean and I spent most of the day yesterday on the coffee bar patio area doing the weekend roots experience. It was a lovely place to hang out. That zone is really busy throughout the week, and it's a beautiful, wonderful place. These are some really amazing things that we have been able to do so far, and this is really fun. It's all paid in full, right? So, hey, give yourselves a hand. Yeah. Super awesome. So some quick math, that was like $234,000 worth of design and signs and patios, et cetera, et cetera. So this is worth celebrating. It's super awesome. And thanks to all of you who contributed to that. Okay, so now, oh yeah, some more greatest hits. So 70 people have given to campus renewal this year. And by people, you know, sometimes like Krista and me is one people. You know, so people or individuals or families or whatever, however you decide to give. So 70 giving units have given to campus renewal this year. That's awesome. That's a lot of involvement. Oh, and by the way, while we were doing all of that, our existing mortgage, we also reduced that by $36,000 this year. So the balance is down to $201,000. So, you know, we did all that work and we're continuing to aggressively address that, which is super fantastic. So campus greatest hits. Okay, so what are the next steps? We are calling you to radical generosity in faith, hope, and love. And we're calling you to join us in giving above and beyond your regular tithes or offerings. This is really important as we look forward to campus renewal. It doesn't end up being helpful if you redirect your typical giving to campus renewal, because then what happens is our operating budget just tanks, and that's not actually helpful. So what we're asking and inviting you to do is to continue to give generously the way that you've been giving, and then to, in addition to that, give to campus renewal. And that's an ask of radical generosity. This is how we've been thinking about it, because if giving increased by 12%, then we would be able to move forward with the Pacific Voyage. We would be able to do what we believe God is calling us to do if giving went up 12%. Now, it doesn't always work like this, but if everyone increased their giving by 12%, we would hit our target. What does that actually look like? So I know some of you probably like specifics, so this is what this looks like. So let's say you give $100 a month. Right? So that would mean if you gave $112 a month, that would be a 12% increase. And then if you just took that $12 and directed it to campus renewal. Or if you give $500, okay, so a 12% increase would be giving $560. And then you just take that $60 and you direct it to campus renewal. So that's what 12% looks like in real numbers. This is totally doable, in my view. So our goal, our primary goal, is 100% participation. We want the whole crew on deck. Right? We don't want anyone to be on the bench with this. We want everyone to participate, and we want you to participate the way that you're able to participate. Right? God, Jesus never calls us to give what we don't have. He invites us to give from what we do have. And that looks different for everybody. So our goal is that everyone would be engaged, that everyone would participate. And that looks different for everyone, right? I know sometimes, like my alma maters, you know, they call up alumni and they're like, hey, you know, will you give to the annual, you know, fund or whatever? And so Krista and I have started doing that with some of our alma maters, because we know that it actually helps them, because they like to say, hey, we have 70% of our alumni are engaged in giving, right? And some people give millions of dollars and other people give $50. Right? So our goal is 100% participation. So far to date, we've received 16 pledges. So we've been inviting you, and there's a insert today too, to make a pledge. Will you pledge in faith that by God's grace, you intend to give to Campus Renewal, to Pacific Voyage, either monthly or weekly or quarterly or however it makes sense for you to give? And, you know, we're not a cult, so we don't track people down and make you fill out forms and then, you know, it's not like that. It's between you and the Lord. But it's really helpful for us to know what your intentions are. So we're inviting you to make a pledge. And so far to date, we've received 16 pledges. So we have a ways to go, right? We have a ways to go on this if our goal is 100% participation. And a little confession there. So Krista and I are not included in those 16, but we will be. So we're up to 17. Okay? We will be by the end of the month. Okay. So what is our actual number goal for our monthly pledge? Between $9,000 and $11,000. The reason we don't have an exact number is because we don't know exactly how much this project's going to cost, but we think it's going to be in this range. Right? So this is what it's going to cost us in order to get financing and to move forward on this, somewhere between $9,000 and $11,000. Now, that's a lot of money, right? That sounds like a lot to me, but again, 12% increase. That's what we're talking about. Where are we so far? We're actually about halfway there. So we have had $1,296 a month pledged. So that's what you have said, hey, we intend to give. You know, if you filled it out weekly, we just multiply by four. That's how we got the monthly bit. Got it? $1,296 pledged. And then There are a number of you who have been faithfully and generously giving to our Mortgage Freedom Fund, which for a number of years, and you have been giving to the tune of about $4,000 a month. And we're going to ask and invite you to continue to do that, and that this giving would just transition from this old mortgage, which we're going to pay off, into this new campus renewal. And so if you add those numbers up, we're $5,300. So like we're about halfway there with 16 pledges, right? So we're on our way. Then we also had this other goal that by the end of the year we would receive $200,000. And that will enable us to set aside a reserve account and to move forward responsibly and faithfully. What's that number about? That number is about 18 months worth of payments. So the budget team with the session approval, they have said, hey, we would go out and obtain a loan to move forward with this. We would feel good about that if we had 18 months worth of payments in a reserve fund just in case, because we don't want to put the congregation in a dangerous or unhelpful position. So that's why the goal. So where are we to date? So as of last week, November 6th, we had received $35,200 towards this goal. So we've got a ways to go, right? So the invitation is to give generously towards this $200,000 goal, and then to consider a pledge to give regularly, whether it's weekly or monthly or quarterly, whatever works for you, and for the next 3 years. And again, you know, we're not a cult, so we're not going to make you like turn in paperwork and tax returns. We don't do that. But what we do desire is, will you give us a sense of where we are? Should we move forward with this project or not? What do you think? And we would like you to vote with your pledge. So that's where we are with that. All the paperwork for you to fill out a pledge is in your bulletin. You can also do that on our website. You can do it electronically. What's this all about? We got to remember. What's this all about? This is about us being a faithful community of disciples, confident in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, standing on his faithfulness and the faithfulness of generations who have gone before us. This is about us laboring in love, about us actually working in concrete expressions of love to those who need to know and experience the love of God. This is about us having a robust hope that looks to the distant future when Jesus will come again and will make all things right. And then also the more near future, where we get to be a community of faith, hope, and love that is vibrant and that is inviting people to follow Jesus and taste and see that God indeed is good. All of this is about setting sail in faith and hope and love. That's the invitation. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite the music team forward. And we're going to pray and then we're going to close. What song do you want to sing? Should we Build My Life? Is that okay? Can we do that?
Yes.
Let's pray together. Gracious God, we want to make this song our prayer, that you would embolden and empower us to build our lives upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. We want our hope to be in nothing less than you. So Jesus, radically reorient our lives so that we might labor in love today, based on your faithfulness in the past and looking forward in hope to what you will continue to do in this place and to the ends of the world. For we pray it in the faithful, loving name of hope, Jesus Christ. And God's people said, amen. Friends, would you stand with me and let's pray by singing.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Christ Pacific Church, visit our website at www.cpchb.org and follow us on social media at Christ Pacific Church.